The Legends with 888 Sport. Whatever your sport, take them on. Bet now. Gamble responsibly.
It's all a matter of opinion. Share yours. 01514720967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie on Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Right, welcome along to the show. Good evening, I'm Steve Hothersall. We have John Aldridge and Graham Sharp. Very nearly ecstasy for the Reds this weekend. Of course, virtually there with the Champions League. Agony for Tranmere Rovers. We'd love to hear from a Tranmere fan this evening. 01514720967. Another year in the conference. And what was it for Everton this weekend, Graham Sharp? How's it left you feeling?
Well, yeah, we had to sign off. When we've done that, 1-0. I have to say that Watford, I've never seen a team as big in all my life. I thought it was the Harlem Globetrotters. Wasn't much of a game, but they won the game. Continue to keep the decent record at home. Just got to finish the season at Arsenal away. You know, I think it looks more likely that Liverpool have got the Champions League spot, but you just never know. Middlesbrough at home, but listen, 99.9% I would say. But for Everton, good finish the season at home. 1-0, not the best games, clean sheet, good performances. Young Tom Davis has to do a job at right back, outstanding. Second half as well, so you know, no, a lot of things to look forward to.
John, for Liverpool, oh so nearly there, but as you pointed out on your social media when I was looking at it before, they've not been very good at home, Liverpool, have they? Surely there's not a slip up round the corner.
You don't like to think so, but as Sharpy said, you just never know in football, you know, what's round the corner. To win the last four away games, you have to say, it's been absolutely ridiculously good. You know, the likes of the teams we've played, West Brom, Stoke, Watford and West Ham. When I seen West Ham turn Tottenham over, I thought, I tell you what, if we went there, I'd just be hard to believe. But they had a couple of injuries. Noble in particular, they missed him. And we got them on the right day. It was after the Lord Mayor's show, after they beat Tottenham. And you've got to give credit, we've said this before many times this season, you've got to just beat what's in front of you. Hit the ball three times, the goalie pulled off three fantastic saves, and we scored four goals. You know, so you can't ask for no more than that. I defended reasonably well, with the exception of one or two little slips. And thoroughly deserved it to be 4-0. It could have been a couple more, you know.
Could have been seven, couldn't it?
It could have been.
I think they were hampered a little bit, having to pick up a striker on the way in. He was standing on the street corner. He was dragged. They must have been short of numbers and just dragged that fella in.
Minging, wasn't he?
Cavalieri.
Oh, my God. He's in the pockets of our centre-half, sort of defence that didn't do the tap. But yeah, you know, really pleasing, because I actually thought we'd probably need Everton to do us a favour last game of the season. But it's back in our hands. You know, on Saturday, the atmosphere is going to be electric. We know that. And they know what's ahead of them, what they have to do, the players. It's like a cup final, you know. And when you think about it, it's not good to say that when you're going for fourth or third place. But for Liverpool Football Club, it's pivotal and massive that for Klopp to go to the next stage, we have to get the players and they all want to play in the Champions League, the top players, and the owners have to get their hands in the pockets and dig deep as well.
Well, given Liverpool's expenditure, if you compared it to Manchester United, I think it is a good achievement to finish fourth.
I think if you're looking at it as a whole, you know, what he spent and what we've done, and we'll probably finish six points ahead of Man United. You know what I mean? And it's a fantastic achievement, you know. Along with City, with neck and neck with City, more or less, what they've spent, you know. And you got to say Klopp's doing a very good job, yeah.
And was that a contender for miss of the season, Sharpie, from IU?
Just a little bit. You just said before half-time as well, but that just summed them up. They had the flip-flops on. But just looking at what I think will finish, Chelsea, Spurs, City, Liverpool, Arsenal, United. Chelsea, outstanding. I would say Spurs, outstanding.
Very good, yeah.
City, underperformed. Arsenal, underperformed. Yeah. Man United, massively underperformed. Yeah. Where would Liverpool come in?
Underperformed
or what was expected?
I think probably what's expected. I think what it's, and I'm not being, you know, biased in any way.
No.
I think out of all them teams, we were hit massively more than any other team with injuries to play, to key players all through the season. You know, and that's the reason why we lost a lot of points, key points, especially in January where we lost our way. Coutinho was out, Mane was out, Henderson was out, Lallana was out. You know, these players, for us to play the game that Klopp wants us to play, the progressive football, and that's where the squad got shown up for what it really is, because we didn't have the players who could come in and replicate what they could do. And that's with the Champions League, what you can do, you can bring them players in. But it's going to cost a lot of money.
I think it's been a funny season because the expectation level went ballistic, didn't it, when they were so-called challenging for the title, but they're probably where they should be. Everton, expectancy-wise, have they achieved their target, do you think, Sharpie?
Well, you look at Everton on seventh position, and in relation to what the others have spent above them, you know, Everton are the next best, which is seventh. You know, they can't match what Man United have spent, but Arsenal, Liverpool, City, Spurs, Chelsea have all spent. But for what they've got coming in, I think that's where you'd expect them to finish. You know, when you look at it, we just talked before we come on here as well, West Brom are eighth. Poor. Really, really poor. So I think your top seven clubs, and I think West Brom will take the hats off to Tony Pulis, they've got an eighth position. But I think the league is really, really, really poor.
It's starting to cut away, isn't it?
Really, really poor. I think you look at the... And no disrespect, West Ham, I thought were dreadful. Watford, who are dreadful, you know, they had a manager shouting and screaming on touchline in Italian. Half the players on the pitch are in the Italian, so they don't understand him. So they were just kind of blanking him, and he was falling out with ones as well. So you're looking at the top, see, seven, and Everton just trying to get into that top six, if you like. Below that, very, very, very average.
But Everton's going to have to spend.
Yeah.
You know, to keep up with the Joneses. That's the way it's going. Everton's finished around about 4 points, maybe less than Man United. That's an achievement. You know, everyone talks about Mourinho and the way they're going. Didn't he can, you know, scramble his way through by winning a cup that's quite hard to beat. It's hard to win. You know, but you've got to give Everton an enormous lot of credit for you know, 4 points behind them. Everton spent nothing.
Right, they're going to have to spend big. Before we get to Steve, who's waiting patiently on the line to speak to you two, just a thought on Tranmere.
Yeah.
John, hopefully we get a Tranmere caller on later on. If you're a Tranmere fan, give us a shout, 4720967. Absolutely devastating, I would imagine.
Yeah, it was disappointing, wasn't it? I had a couple of good chances when it was at 3-1. One of them went in. It might have been different, but after that, it was fairly comfortable for Forest Green. They put another centre-half on. Tranmere resorted to trying long ball tactics a little bit, and he swallowed everything up. You know, but there was a couple of real good chances, and one of them, with the goal, he messed up on one, and perhaps should have scored. I was gutted. I was gutted. Didn't get him, but you know, you've got to try and look on the positive side. They've got a very, very good manager. It's run very, very well. They've got the best set of fans, the most loyal set of fans in the league by a million miles. And sometimes it takes a little bit longer. You know, the experience hopefully will put them in good stead. Maybe go to one place more next year.
15,000 fans down there. Well done if you went down and supported Tranmere. Let's get to the phone lines on the Radio City Legends with 888 Sport. First up is Steve. Good evening, Steve.
Hi, John. Hi, Jamie. Okay.
Hello, Steve.
Good. The last time I spoke to you two guys was before we had the two massive away games at Stoke and West Brom. And I think Graham was he's feeling quite happy with himself that we had them two away games coming up. We were in bad form, and I think he thought we were going to get turned over, but we come through them, which is good. But the reason for the call was I wanted to get John's opinion on Origi. Now, it does divide opinion massively between Liverpool fans at the moment, you have to say, John, with his performances, because when he was on the fringes of the team, he was coming in and he was scoring goals, and he was banging on Klopp's door saying he needs to start games. But since he's had a run of starting games, I think he's out of his depth a little bit. Just at this moment in time, I mean, he's only
22.
He does the ball bounces off him. He doesn't hold it up well. I mean, I don't know what you're striker, John. I mean, I can't really look at his game and think, right, you're actually very strong in that area. he's not particularly great in any area. He's just decent. And to lead the line for Liverpool, you know, you need to have a little bit more than that. And would you put Firmino now in for Origi? Keep the same team, but put Firmino back in for Origi?
Yeah, well, I'll answer your last point. First of all, for Sunday, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Firmino instead of Origi. Origi, just, I find him very, very frustrating. From, like, me and Sharpie, you know, we're in the strikers union and such, and we know when we played, if you get a ball played up for you and you don't hold on to it, your midfield or the pastor, he would slaughter you.
Slaughter you.
And you know, in our day, we had centre-halves trying to kick us, get into our calves, into Achilles. So you had to fend it off as well and get your elbows up and hold it. Once you've got all of it, you shield it. You're in play. You're looking at the plays you want to play to. Where and you give it to them, and then you get into the box, or you look to the second phase of the game. It bubbles off him all the time, you know. And he's big, he's strong, he's athletic. He's got every attribute that you'd want. You know, he's quick. You know, tall. You know, he does. He's never won a header. I don't think he's won a header in four games. And I'm watching him like very, very closely. And he's doing me head in. At times, I'd say he's doing me head in. Because I know I've seen him before he got the injury against Everton. I thought, oh yeah, happy days. He's showing now what we know he's done for Belgium and such, you know, in the past. But he's got to go to the next stage. He's got to realise that ball is a lump of gold. You keep it, you don't lose it, you know. And then obviously, I thought second half he'd done better yesterday with the only thing he did wrong. He should have laid Daniel Sturridge, which it doesn't matter. The game was over, thankfully. And I think that the manager has been getting on to him to try and keep hold of the ball a little bit more, but he doesn't. And I don't want to be on his case. The manager's kept faith with him. He's played him the last five, six games, whatever it be. He scored one goal. I don't think he's had any assists. But his game, he really needs someone from a striking point of view to work with him individually. I really think, you know, he doesn't really know when to run or where to run at times. You know, he's dawdling when he should be over one side and he's on the other side. He needs someone to guide him and give him personal training, because it's not there. You know, whilst he's got all the attributes, it's not quite there with him. I don't want to be too hard on him. But you know, that's my feeling. But I would. And I think if Firmino's fit, he will play. Firmino, Coutinho, Lallana and Sturridge on Sunday.
It's just difficult. Where, I mean, where does that leave Firmino now? I mean, would you send him out on loan, see if he can...
Origi,
where, I mean... Yeah, I mean, Sturridge comes in, and I'll be honest, it actually looks quite embarrassing for Origi. I mean, he's Sturridge comes... I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't think Sturridge is the answer either. I mean, there was a stat on Sturridge. The last 131 games Liverpool have played, how many games has he started in, John?
I've heard somewhere very, very, 22. Very few,
And he's only finished 10 out of 10, 90 minutes, 10 games, and he's finished 90 minutes.
So, and you know, when he's on the pitch, we've seen yesterday what
he's capable.
He's classy. Technically, he's brilliant, you know, the technique of the lad, you know. But
you can see why Klopp's gone with Origi, because he knows what he's going to get, and he knows he can count on him. I mean, look, Origi's no class player, but at least you know he's not going to get injured, and you know he's going to put in a shift. Because you can't trust Studs, can you, John?
Well, I don't think Sturridge could play the high tempo game week in, week out that Klopp requires. And I think that's why, you know, Origi's in there, as you quite rightly said, Steve, that, you know, he's got the energy levels and fitness and closing people down. But listen, we've talked about it here, about does Sturridge go or not. There's nobody doubting the fact that when he's fully fit, when that is, he's quality. He's a quality player, but it's getting him fit all the time. That's the thing. If he can guarantee that he's going to be fit for the majority of the season next season, he'll still be here.
Absolutely. 100%. I think what'll happen is in the summer's going to be intriguing, because obviously everyone knows where we need players, and up the top we need goal scorers, and we need a top, you know, leader from that end of the pitch, a top goal scorer who can do all them things we're just talking about. That's what but will Origi be there? Will Daniel Sturridge be there? Don't know. I just don't know. Yeah. You know, the manager will know.
Can I ask one fair question? This is just for Graham. I don't know if you watched Match of the Day, but Leon Osman was on there.
No.
And he was commenting, well, he's comment, commentating, well, not commentating, he was giving his thoughts and the view on the Liverpool game. Mm-hmm. I mean, you thought Cara was biased. You wanted to see Leo Osmond.
I didn't see it.
He struggled to give 1 ounce of credit for that Liverpool when he's off. West Ham are on holiday.
I've always said Ozzy's a good pundit.
Steve, nice one. We've got to leave you there. Thank you very much indeed. Sorry, that was John's chair squeaking, not himself, not his legs or anything like that.
It could be back, to be fair.
Right, 7:15. We'll take more of your calls in a moment or two. Also reflect a bit on what happens next for Tranmere Rovers. 0151 472 0967. You want to talk about Barkley? Everton's new kit. It's been linked, apparently. You might have seen pictures of that one. Philip Coutinho in a different role. Whatever you want to talk about, give us a shout. It's the Radio City Legends with 888 Sport with Aldo and Sharpie.
This is the home of red and blue banter and debate. Call now, 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. On Radio City and Radio City Talk.
Some more of your calls coming in a moment or two. 4720967, John Aldridge, Graham Sharp. We've only got three of these shows left. Season finishes, yeah. Goodness me. Well,
do you think it's been a long season?
Well, not for John, because he's been away every other week. Footballing-wise, I think the Premier League's been a little bit rubbish this season. Not been convinced it's been great fair result. That's a personal thing, isn't it, I suppose, sometimes?
Yeah, well, we've just gone through it before, and I'm just talking about, you know, the top, how it's splitting now. More so, and John made a good point in the break again. It's the teams are just more interested in staying up. You know, yeah.
The goal's massive, isn't it?
Yeah, now? It's a bit more interesting staying up, you know, and it's a shame kind of thing, and it's getting more and more detached. I don't know, how do you change it?
See, it does need some sort of change, something to spice it up. Like these teams, you know, they're coming in, they're just sitting for points, which are massive for them. They're not coming and making a game of it. You know, they know, seven teams apart, Everton up to Chelsea. They know every year now, everyone gets £140 million from the media. Before one person walks through the door, before a sponsor's involved in the club, that is a gift to the club for staying into the Premier League off the media.
So the money has entirely changed the club's outlook on what...
It's a business.
Yeah.
So people are made up. Like Sam Allardyce goes into a job again, he gets 2 million. Keep us up, 2 million, it's worth it, because 140 million. Every manager.
But what are you saying? Are you saying the desire was any less 20 years ago to stay in the Premier League?
Every manager. Oh, no, there's a little bit more to it than then. Every manager.
It wasn't necessarily a money thing then.
No, absolutely.
It was like a team. You had good teams who were fighting to win things, to be the best they can, not just to stay in the division.
Well, a manager in them days would get a big packet to get the team in a League Cup final or a FA Cup final. You will get a big bonus, and the players will get big bonuses. The bonus now is just to stay in the bloody league. Mm. And every manager of every side there that stayed in the league will have in his contract million, 2 million, 3 million, whatever it is, he will get as an incentive, as a bonus, just to keep that team in the league. And that's why the league's
so it's the managers that are killing the league, because they're the ones who put the teams out and set the tactics.
I've said amongst it, but it's the manager. When you get to Christmas time and teams are faltering near the bottom and they reshuffle, they bring managers in. The manager's got them by the shorts. You know, there you go. I'll keep you up. You know, give me 5 million. I only want 10-20 grand a week, but 5 million if I keep you up. They can't lose, and that's a sad part about football.
Would you bring in four down?
Why not?
And maybe like a playoff,
just for the entertainment factor.
Yeah, and just, you know, you don't want to be.
Makes it even more scary for them, though, doesn't it?
Scotland one time, yeah, didn't they?
Yeah, and I just think people are thinking three, and we can get to 40 points and all that. Can you talk about entertainment value and everything else? I don't know. If four down would be interesting.
Because your team's coming to Anfield, trying to get a 0-0. You know, 1-1, a draw, they're jumping all over the place because they know that one point's near the togs of whatever it is, mid-30s to 40, that keep them in. It's garbage.
Surely it's time for two up from the conference as well, as opposed to just
one
up in that league.
Yeah.
And that's how Tranmere missed out. I watched some interesting stuff on Sky about them today.
Two
up automatically shouldn't it?
Just
Lincoln.
Yeah. Have
you seen how Forest Green is run as a club? Yeah. So it's an eco club. So the chairman makes them all right riding electric cars. They have vegan diets, all of them. Seriously? Not allowed to eat meat, John.
No, you have to have corn burgers. There's no pie stall either. It's all vegan stuff.
Could you cope?
I've been to Forest Green. I've done a dinner there a while. What a great
what
setup.
Did you get? did they tell you it was real meat?
No, I had beef. Beef dinner.
Wasn't real meat, John. Wasn't a cow, that. It was a bit of corn.
Great setup. And you've got to give him a lot of credit. Yeah. There's only 6,000 people living in the small village as well. You know what I mean? And he's done ridiculously marvellous for them. You've got to give him loads of credit and say, well done, haven't you? He's put his money where his mouth is.
The stadium holds 6,000. We've got 6,000 people living in the town, village, haven't they? Just before we get to our next callers, 01514720967. Just going to raise the fact, you raised a lot of money last week, didn't you? Your former players do?
Yes, Steve. It was a great, great night. Yeah, Monday night. We had Coutinho came along and he was a gentleman all night, stayed right till the end. He got his award offers, played the season. You know, various players got the like the 60s, 70s, 80s and 90s and such. Had a great turnout. The people were very, very generous who turned out. And we've raised around about 20,000, I think, on the night for local charities, yeah.
Someone paid an awful lot of money for a Liverpool shirt. Now, I had to laugh on Friday night because I went to see a lot of your ex-Tranmere teammates play against each other at Prenton Park.
I suppose we there was in
Boston,
yeah.
Sorry, was it that bad?
No. I'll get on to why I had a laugh. So Nico was playing, Eddie Bishop, Chris Camden, all that lot. So they auctioned a Liverpool shirt at the end. They're raising money for charity, really good charity. And it was struggling to get beyond £90. This was a Liverpool shirt signed by everyone at the football club. Wow. Tranmere shirt came out. Oh, the bidding went ballistic. It went through the roof. It was, it was double.
What did Tranmere do?
Well, with the Coutinho shirt, he gives a shirt, signed shirt, And it was going madness, you know, over 1,000 for it. And it got like to 1,750, whatever it was. And there was two lads ran up and we stopped and said, look, I said to Philip, will you sign another one? He said, certainly. So the two got one each for 1,750, £3,500 for local charity. So the two people involved, you know, how good's that from them as well?
Congratulations.
But more importantly, they put money into our city for charity, you know, charitable needs.
Amazing stuff. Right, just a quick thought on Eddie Bishop, who came onto the pitch and within 2 minutes he knocked a guy unconscious. He said it wasn't an elbow. He said it was a headbutt. This poor fellow went off, needed 10 stitches, but I think he was knocked out. So afterwards, Eddie said he was stood above him, saying, "Please wake up. Please wake up." These are your former teammates, John. These are your former teammates. Right, Dave's just bringing a bit of water in. Before we get to our next caller, Ross Barkley, did you see any signs from Ross's sort of waving at the crowd after the game on Friday night? Did you read anything into it anymore?
No,
Graham, is he staying or is he going?
Don't know. I honestly don't know.
What does your gut tell you?
Took his goal really, really well. Really good finish. Over the weekend, I think he's been linked with all sorts of clients, Man United, Arsenal now, Tottenham.
Yeah. United?
Again, paper
is
talk for me.
When you left his contract.
Yeah. So, paper talk, you don't know. The only person that knows is him. You know, and he's got to make a decision before the end of the week, is it?
Absolutely has, yeah.
So, listen.
Come on, I bet everyone was looking at him as he went round the pitch thinking, you know, was he giving some goodbyes or...
No, I don't think so. No? I honestly don't think so. You know, I think it's split. I think it's really split the opinion on him. Should he stay? Should he go? I think deep down everybody wants him to stay, but if he doesn't, move on.
Club's got to get the right
move
deal.
Move on and
absolutely.
Move on.
You can't be able to ransom.
No.
Look, at the end, we all said if you don't want to stay at the club, there's the door. Shut it on your way out.
Yeah.
There you go.
Let's get some thoughts on it from the callers. 01514720967. The Radio City Legends with 888 Sport. Gary on the line. Hello, Gary.
Hi, mate. How are you?
Hi, Gary.
That's Aldo, lad. I think Sharpie's right there. I mean, Koeman, he's shown that he does. If players don't perform, he will take them off, and that was a blessing in disguise because David Moyes used to do a substitution in 5 minutes to go, and little brown shoes there. I don't know whether it's substitutions, but Koeman will change it round. You know what I mean? Like, and to be honest, like I'd like Ross to stay. Every paper you pick up today, I think we'll have a squad of about 40 next season. Like, you know, with all the players abandoned round, like. And it's just amazing. But and against Watford, I thought Tom Davis had a really good go.
Yeah.
And he got And he got, I mean, that number 33, was it Okaku?
Yeah, Okaku, flipping it.
He blows him down, he hits him, and I think he didn't speak to him. He ended up booking two of their players. But I was in the park end, and it was like watching England rugby team wearing white, white, black.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get my head around it. But I think Davis is a shining light. That effort on goal, it was a good save from the goal, like, and he hits it. But, you know, I think whatever players he brings in, I mean, we were talking about it in work today, I'd like to see the Heat and the goalkeeper and the centre half at Burnley that were
keen,
handy lined up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think Koeman has got it going by saying to Ross, look, I need to know now. You know, because I want to get my squad ready. I don't want to come back and it's like, you know, once you've had a couple of weeks off and say, oh, hang on, we've got a game coming up in 3 weeks' time. Who are we going to bring in? Because that's when no marks start coming in, you know what I mean? Like, and, you
know, Gary, I think that's why he's given the ultimatum. You know, he needs to know. He needs to plan ahead. He's probably obviously, at this moment in time, and I'm sure the manager will have ones who he knows he'll go after if Ross doesn't sign. And if he does sign, he maybe just step back and then. But listen, I thought Tom Davis on Friday night was excellent. For the fact that he, second half, he was asked to play right back, and I'm thinking, wow, he could sulk about that. It's not his best position. But he went to right back and he put in a really, really top class display in there. Still got forward at times. Mason Holgate, I thought, struggled a little bit going forward in the first half. But Tom was excellent. But the Ross situation, listen, we just have to wait and see what he wants to do. He's been linked with all sorts of clubs over the weekend, whether that's true or not, whether it's paper talk, we'll just have to wait and see. But you're right, we need to move on. It's as simple as that. You can't wait and wait for a player to put pen to paper. You know, you give him the option. If he doesn't want to do it, move on.
I mean, I think Koeman has got a plan. And I think this plan's been in action now for the last 3 weeks. So players he wants to keep and players he wants to go.
Yeah.
I mean, we've got players out the door now, like, you know, McGeady and other loan signs. I don't think they'll come back because they're not in his plans now. Niasse, not in his plans. And I think he's got a decent backroom staff that have worked with him. Big dunks in there. He's even got Unzi. I mean, Unzi's in there, you know. And, you know, we heard rumours that he wanted that Kieran Dowell to come into the first team squad. And apparently Unzi said, no, I want him to play for me. Now, whether that's true or not, we don't know, because the lad here next to me goes all the under-23 games. Like, and he was saying, you know, he is a different class. Now, if he can step up like Davis, I mean, we've got Brown to come back. You know, we could have a nice, with nice, decent signings, a really good go. I've been made up with this season. If you'd have told me we'd finish seventh when we first got Koeman, I thought, oh, hang on.
Gary, listen, I know what you're saying, spot on what you're saying. I'm just saying to speak to John and Steve here. You know, we're looking at Ross, and Ross did okay the other night and scored a very good goal, a very, very good goal.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're talking, he's 23, he's 23, 24. Philip Coutinho at Liverpool's 24.
Yeah.
You know, and Coutinho's performances this year have been on a different planet at times. You know, that's Ross needs to get that consistency that Coutinho's shown. So all this talk about he's a finished article and everything else, I say the same with Romelu as well. He's not, but he just has to look over the park and look at the likes of Coutinho, who like is now getting linked with Barcelona at 24 years of age. That is the standard that we're expecting Ross to be. And I think sometimes it's a lot of weight on his shoulders. You know, we look at Rooney coming through at that age as well. But when you look at, you know, players nowadays, and we say they're young players and everything else, when you look at the likes of Coutinho, nobody's ever said, he's only a young lad. He's only young. You need to give him time. Right away, bang, he's a finished article. If he doesn't play well, we're disappointed. It's not a case he's a young lad. And I know people say he's not from the city and all that. I totally understand that. But I think we need to get away from the fact now, you know, and just blaming that. I want Ross to say, I'd love him to say, and improve at Everton kind of thing. But I'm afraid the manager's not going to wait for him.
No, he's not going to wait for him. And I mean, like, you look at Ross through certain games, he gets that ball in the centre midfield or just behind, you know, in front of their back four, I'll say. And he'll turn a player and he'll get ready to pass it. And he does the perfect things, right? It's just that stupid little thing of, I'll have a little extra touch, a little extra turn here. And exactly what you said, Graeme, he's not to finish the article. Mm.
Gary, we've got to go there. We've got to go to a break. But thank you very much indeed. Brilliant thoughts. Super stuff. 4720967. If you want to have a chat with either the boys, Sharpie or Aldo, it's the Radio City Legends with 888 Sport. No better way to spend your Monday evening.
The Legends with 888 Sport. Whatever your sport, take them on. Bet now. Gamble responsibly. Call now. 0151 472 0967. It's the Legends with Aldo and Sharpie. Radio City and Radio City Talk.
8 minutes past 7 o'clock. John Aldridge, Graeme Sharp, myself, Steve Hover. So we're going to do Look Who's Scoring in just a moment or two. There is a game tonight. It's Chelsea against Watford. Chelsea already having wrapped things up. Bit of a home celebration for them with the Premier League trophy.
I wonder if they'll have them plastic flags out, Steve. Do you think?
Oh, you hated that. Spurs had some.
But Spurs, look, to be fair, they've done it. They didn't look plasticised at Spurs. The way they did it, it was all right. You know, it was quite nice. But anyway, Chelsea deserved to win the league. But if I was them, I'd give them plastic flags a miss.
Sharpie, when you watch the parade of players and all the Tottenham fans being emotional about White Hart Lane, did it make you think, oh, we've got that coming a few years down the line?
I think they've done it a few. I think Arsenal done it as well, if I remember right. I might be wrong. Somebody will know that, correct me. I think it's a good way to go out. You know, just I was looking at the players that were coming on. Some, obviously, you recognise, some you don't. But surprised that I don't think Alan Mullery was there, or Terry Venables, maybe ill health, I don't know. Ray Clemens was there. He came on, Ray Clemens. It's good to see him.
Some great players came on, didn't you, from the past.
Big Mike England, Martin Chivers, Alan Gulzean. Brilliant. No, great memories for people who watch football outside the Premier League. You know, and it was great to see those old players in. Some of the lads I didn't recognise. Tony Galvin, I would never have recognised him.
I'd never have recognised him in your life. Played a lot of times with Tony at Republic,
would never have recognised him. The wee boy Hazard was there as well. Archibald, Crooks.
Saul Campbell.
No.
Ledley King. I don't think he was allowed in.
I was waiting to see if maybe they would have brought out Gazza.
That's the one, isn't it?
He wasn't here. I don't know for what.
You know, I used to like Martin Chivers.
Yeah, he was there. Martin,
when he was young, he was a great centre forward for them. You know, met him on a trip some years back, and he's an absolute gentleman.
Was Pat Jennings there? Yes, he was always my favourite as a young lad.
Pat's never changed. No, his hair's never changed.
He looks cool.
He was the first goalie to ever come out and catch it one-handed, didn't he? Remember, he used to go and catch. Yeah. Actually, he pulled it one-handed, wasn't he?
Just a quickie. How did you both play at White Hart Lane?
No, I didn't like it.
No?
No, I don't like it.
Didn't like what? Why are you so adamant? You hated it?
I didn't like playing there because you go to grounds that you like playing, you score, and you
never scored there.
I scored there, but I didn't like playing there. I just didn't like playing there. Great ground, but I didn't like playing there.
One drew and lost there or something, over the years.
But not a hatful of goals?
Maybe a couple, I think, yeah.
Obviously, it was a bad pitch, lads, if you didn't play well.
Bubbles everywhere.
Right, let's do Look Who's Scoring. Play along at home, if you want. We'll get to the callers in a moment or two. Here we go. Here are your clues. There's a slight suspicion that Graeme Sharp has read through all these clues already. And that Aldridge laugh also tells you that. Right, 5 points. This player was born in 1982, spent his entire playing career in England, apart from one brief spell abroad. So just one spell abroad. His career included three separate spells with one club.
Well, played for the same team or three?
Yeah, three.
So three separate spells with the same club. I think this is a really hard one today. It's not when you know the answer.
He's only young. 35.
Is he still playing? I'll tell you shortly. For 4 points, scored 20 goals in 52 games for his UK-based country. But has only won one domestic trophy to date. And that was a League Cup 10 years ago. Yeah. Does that take you closer?
Defoe. No chance.
League Cup 10 years ago.
Swap.
Hold on.
Did they get it right?
He's seen them.
I played. Well, they didn't even say the answer on here. It was Jermaine Defoe.
Hey.
No, Donald, that's Steve. Keep us out. No, Donald, he's taking us out now.
Oh, baby boy, I saved the best for the last.
He's over the moon. He's just giving Davis Richie salute. Yeah, so the other clues were, scored 269 goals in 645 games and is still playing, and had a brief spell at Portsmouth. I thought it was hard.
Yeah, that's the easiest one for me all season. Nah.
John, I don't know how your mind works.
The goals give it away for me.
Right, super stuff, well done. Back in front of producer Dave, I think that's 4-0 now. He's having a disaster, isn't he? Only two shows to go as well.
You better start saving up, lad.
Oh, you're taking these boys out. They need paying for. Right, let's get back to the phone lines. Get your headphones on, lads. The Radio City Legends with 888 Sport. Steve, thank you for being patient with us. You're through to the lads.
Yeah, you're okay, lads, yeah.
Hello, Steve.
Yeah, what it is, just, Philip Coutinho, you know, all the thing about him in the news saying that he's going to be leaving and this and all that, like, and what I noticed yesterday is that, like, when he scored them two goals, he never really celebrated, you know, like normally does. You know, we normally into the crowd. I mean, I remember when Firmino scored that, like, Stormer against Stoke, and, like, sort of Coutinho was with him. He ran right across to the fans and he celebrated and he was, like, you know, all into it. And it was as if, like, when he scored them two goals, he was like, he didn't smile, wanted to look at the fans, just didn't do nothing at all. And obviously that's very worrying, that, because we've had it before with Suarez and Sterling, you know what I mean? Like, and the point I'm trying to make is that, like, I don't want him to go, I'd love him to stay, you know what I mean? But if he is going to go, and, you know, to be honest with you, like, if Barcelona comes knocking, like, to any player or Real Madrid, you know, heads do get turned, so to speak. If he is going to go, then I'd rather that happen sooner, you know, like rather than later, to be honest with you. Like, because what we don't want to do is go through the summer where it's all, is he or isn't he, don't know what he's doing, you know what I mean? It'll mess, like, Klopp's transfer, it'll mess, his, you know, with team preparations up and everything like that, right? And I just think that, like, you know, unless he actually comes out, Coutinho, and goes, you know what, I'm definitely not going, I'm 100% staying, don't ever ring me again, I'm happy at the club, you know what I mean? Like, until he actually says that, it's just going to go on and on and on, and it'll only affect the club. It'll make the club a lot worse, and I just think that, like, if it is going to happen, and I just let it happen now, to be honest with you. Like, I mean, it's like I say, I don't want him to go. I'll be sad to see him go. He's a brilliant player. He loves to play £8 million for him, sell him for £70 million. If he wants to go, let him go sooner and then get the money right back into the squad.
Well, yeah, I think you might be reading into, you know, his celebrations a bit too much there. I'm hoping so as well. But, you know, he's got his contracts, you know, we're just talking about it there. His contract is to 2022. It's a new contract signed not long ago, and there's no buyout clause. So,
And
I know what you're saying, because sometimes, you know, and we've said this before, if a player wants to go, it's hard to keep them. But Liverpool can play our ball. You know, they can play our ball. And at the end of the day, the manager will have sat down with him, and because you've got to make his plans at the end of this season. You know, who's going to bring in, what's going to happen, you know. And things can happen, and you're quite right. And Liverpool's got a big insurance policy there, because if Barcelona wanted to buy him, he's still got 5 years of his contract.
Yeah, I understand, you know, that, John. But, you know, like, if you know, if Barcelona come in for him and Coutinho wants to go, then, you know, I don't see the point in keeping a player at a club.
Yeah, so okay, I agree.
I mean, I remember Suarez, when Suarez signed that big contract, you know, and then, like, the next year it was done, and then he stayed for one more season.
No, anyway, you're right.
And it'll settle the club. I mean, you know better than me, being obviously an ex-footballer. Contracts these days mean nothing. I mean,
That's exactly right, you know. But I think the managers have got to know actually where they stand. And we were talking about Ross Barkley before, and talking about Philip Coutinho. Yeah. The manager will sit there, he knows the score, because you've got to go ahead with your plans, you know. Jürgen said, and Liverpool said, he's going nowhere. Coutinho said nothing. He's even said, you know, I don't know nothing about Barcelona. You know, whether they have been behind his back, we don't know. But all he can do is he's doing the right things. He's playing well at the moment, which we need, you know, to get a Champions League.
Of course,
and then just see what happens. But you're right, you know, again, if a player wants to go, as I said before, you know, you make sure you've got to get the right money. If he gets his head turned, then he's got to go. Then there you go. Well done. You know, if he goes, you've got to go in the right context. You know, you've got to go, you know, appeased with each other. And then you don't want any nastiness like with Sterling.
He seems quite an honourable gentleman, though, doesn't he?
He's a lovely lad.
The good thing as well about it is Liverpool qualify for the Champions League. There's no,
no excuse.
And I know Barcelona's a massive pool for any player, and I fully understand that. But Liverpool qualify for the Champions League, which looks highly likely they're going to do. is a factor in Liverpool's favour. You know, yeah, listen, Champions League, we've got Champions League here. Now, why would you want to go again? We talk about going to other clubs where you might be a bit part player. He's playing week in, week out, playing the Champions League.
That could happen in Barcelona.
Yeah, it could.
They've got that many great players. But that is a big plus for Liverpool, you know, the Champions League. And you could say, well, OK, yeah. I'm talking hypothetically. Look, give us a year.
Yeah.
Play with the Champions League. See, we'll have a look at it the following year, because if you play as well as you're doing, they're still going to want you. Yeah. You know what I mean? And you're still a young lad. If you go there when you're 25, 26, you've still got, like Suarez, you've still got a massive... And you're primed to go there. So just keep on going, keep on... Gaining your experience, just doing the right thing for the club, and we'll play it by you. You know, I think that's what the manager will say.
Yeah, but what I'm thinking is that, like, it's a bit like Suarez, because, like, Suarez gave us another year, and obviously, you know, we all know what happened that year. Like, it was a terrible ending, but, like, a brilliant year, like, the football we played. But, like, we all knew that he was going to go. And what we don't want to do is, like, you know, our best players become a club where, like, when one of our best players, like, you know, the owner seemed to, like, if you like, move on to a so-called bigger club. I mean, I'm not suggesting that City are anywhere near as good as us, you know what I mean? Like, but, you know, Sterling, you know, and then when Torres went, you know, he went to a bigger club and all that, you know what I mean? We've had this all before. Like, I just don't want to, like, have, like, a summer where we go, do you know what? Is he going to go? And then, like, early next year or something, like, when he plays and he scores a couple of goals, he doesn't look at the fans and he doesn't celebrate, you know what I mean? Because it will turn people...
Steve, unfortunate, that's the world we live in now.
Yeah.
You know, and we all hate it, and we want what's best for our football clubs, but unfortunately now the power is with the players.
Absolutely,
and
the agents, yeah.
That's it.
Nice one, Steve. He's happy. He looks happy. Enjoy him. Enjoy him while he's here, Steve.
Yeah.
Let's get to our next caller. Sorry to keep you hanging on. Always a delight to have Gary in West Derby. Hello, pal.
Hi, Steve. You're okay?
Good stuff. Through to Sharpie.
Okay, cheers. How you going, mate?
Hi, Gary.
Hi, Gary.
Just want to chip in really on this Lukaku and Barkley situation. Really, for me, there's a load of unanswered questions for me. Like, they're both in the same situation. There's a year difference in the contracts. I'm a great Koeman fan, by the way. Before I say anything, I'm a big fan of Koeman. I just feel that he's treated Ross from the outset a lot more different than he has Lukaku.
Yeah.
They're both players who can give a lot more. Mm-hmm. And as you said before, they're 23. And certainly, you know, he's no Coutinho, Barkley. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they've been treated totally different in my eyes.
Yeah.
You know, he's gave ultimatums to Barkley. He's dropped Barkley. Lukaku's had some terrible games, quite a few terrible games this season. No hint of him being dropped. No hint of towards the end of this season. Although he's come out and said he won't sign the contract, why hasn't Koeman come out to Lukaku and said, well, we need to know now, like he said with Barkley. He's put it on the line to Barkley, they'll tell us by next week.
Yeah.
He hasn't done that to Lukaku. So, you know, what's the difference?
Gary, we don't know what goes on behind, but, you know, the only thing that has saved Rom, I think, at times from being dropped is we've got nobody else.
Absolutely.
Nobody else. You know, I've looked at the games as much as you have, and you've thought, I would take him off there. I'd take Rom off here and make a statement, but you can't. He was our biggest threat to scoring goals, so he always had that over him. But I agree with you to a certain extent that, you know, but Romelu came out and spoke about his relationship with the manager, how they've got a good relationship, but sometimes he hates him because he pushes him too hard and he does different things. So we don't know what the relationships are. Certainly from the outside, I agree with you that it looks as if, you know, Rom gets more licence than what the Ross does. But listen, this is a way this manager thinks he can get the best out of Ross by maybe doing that, wielding that big stick at him.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe he needs an arm around his shoulder, but Koeman looks at him, he trains with him every single day. He thinks if he wields a big stick and says, right, come on, I'll get the best out of Ross Barkley. I certainly think you've seen an improvement in Ross since he came out with those comments. But I know where you're coming from.
I know, but I mean, he's treating him the polar opposite to the way Martin has treated him.
Yes.
You know, Martinez was the complete opposite, and that didn't do him any good.
No.
But we talk about body language, that caller there that the Liverpool supporter was saying to John about Coutinho's body language and after he scored. I couldn't pick nothing up on Friday, to be honest with you, regarding Barkley. But I'll tell you what I did pick up on the Tuesday. I was at the Dixies, and he looked like he didn't want to know.
Yeah.
I know he was up for no awards as such, but I watched him on the stage.
Yeah.
And you couldn't have got an unhappier person.
Yeah.
He looked totally uninterested.
Yeah, a lot of people said that.
Whereas, you know, at least Lukaku come up and he spoke well. And, you know, you've got to give Lukaku credit in that respect that he spoke well about the club. He hasn't hid anything. There's no hidden agenda with him.
No.
And he spoke really well. You know, but I looked at Barkley and even, you know, even off stage, our company, one of the sponsors there, and I was watching him all night and he just didn't want to know.
It's a strange one. A lot of people said that, Gary. I agree with you there, having been there myself. People remarked on it. But listen, again, as we said to the previous caller, about we do not know. We want them to stay. Of course, we want them to stay. We want both of them to stay. Does it look likely? I would say probably no. One, if not two, may well be out the door. But what we always say is we move on. You know, there's nobody bigger than the football club. Peter Reid said it. If he doesn't want to sign, if they don't want to sign, see you later and bring somebody else in. You know, and it'd be disappointing because I think it would make a statement if we could keep the two of them. But if that's not the case, so be it, and we move on.
Gary, just very quickly before you go, have you seen these leaked images of the new Everton kit sponsored by Sport Pisa?
I haven't yet. You know, I've seen a very short video that they released the other night, but I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, what a shame.
Kit launch tomorrow. Kit launch tomorrow.
No, I'm only saying that because Dave, our, you know, our Evertonian producer, he's got an idea about it. I don't want to repeat it on air, but
I'll tell you what I did think when I seen the very short clip of what looks like Tom Davis in the shirt. I don't know whether it was just the actual video itself, but the blue looked totally not Everton blue.
Ah, yes. Now, it looks a bit
now,
different.
Now, whether or not that's... I don't know.
Gary, delight. Thank you very much, pal.
All right, see you,
cheers, Gary.
I think he makes a great point, you know, about Lukaku and Barkley. Different treatment for two different players.
Yeah, but you're talking about two different individuals, you know. Sometimes as a manager, you've got to do that. Plus, you've got a goal scorer. And Sharpie's, if he's not on the pitch sometimes, 24 goals he scored, Steve. And it's, you know, team that's, how many goals have Everton scored? I tell you what, it's one hell of a season for him. And
Dave
sometimes you've got to keep him sweet.
Next highest scorer has got 5 in the team. Is that Ross?
Yeah. There you go.
That's amazing, isn't it? Boys, thank you very much indeed. There's a couple of playoffs to go through this week. Chef Wednesday, Huddersfield, Reading, Fulham. Join me tomorrow morning from 7 a.m. on Radio City Talk for the kickoff. I'll see you then.
The Legends with 888 Sport. Whatever your sport, take them on. Bet now. Gamble responsibly.